welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. We're calling this bonus episode week. I am going on vacation and things got a little chaotic over the holidays, and we invited new councilman Evan Nolan to come into the podcast and record. And we had a great conversation about why he wants to serve and talked a little bit about what it was like coming in as an appointed member of council. And we never released the episode. And so while I'm away, I did want everyone to get a chance to hear Evan talk about his, you know, upcoming council term. It is an election year this year, in his own words. And so I just thought this would be the perfect week to share that episode. So if you're looking for us to talk about the snow removal and, you know, some of the things that are in the now, we didn't do that because we recorded this before Christmas. Without further ado, we're welcoming Evan Nolan. Special guest time here on That's So Cincinnati. I am happy to welcome somebody very much in my wheelhouse, Evan Nolan. Hi, Evan.
Hello.
It is good to see you, even though I see you at council every week.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And at the State of the City.
Yes.
Yes. So we're fresh off of that. But Evan is our, as I mentioned earlier, Evan is our newest council member in Cincinnati. And I thought I would give everyone a chance to hear from him himself. He has a good story to tell about how he made his way to council from growing up in Cheviot.
Did you pronounce that right?
Evan, did I?
Cheviot.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not from here.
It should have an I.
But you live on the west side.
I know. That's a good point. And I love Maury's Tiny Cove.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
It's where we celebrated my birthday last month.
See?
I love that place. There's, you know, there's few places now that you can get like an honest old fashioned. Everybody wants to go craft cocktail on it and like add all this stuff, which is fine. Yeah. But sometimes you just want the, you know, the old school maraschino cherries mashed up, you know, some bourbon and like not be pretentious about it.
They intentionally make it twice the size, and so it comes with a sidecar too. So
yeah,
it's like two for the price of one. Classic exactly. West Side.
This is very
well, happy
true.
Happy birthday!
Yes.
Thank you.
Did you go there? They're celebrating their 75th anniversary, and Evan is much younger than that. But so did you go there growing up?
Yes.
Was it like the nice restaurant, like growing
up? Absolutely.
So why don't you? How did you end up on council?
Well, Councilwoman Mika Owens appointed me to council.
Yes, that is the simple answer.
That's the
but you had
answer.
To be interested before that kind of came to be.
Yeah, I don't think it's any secret that I have been interested in public service in a variety of ways throughout my career. In the time since I moved back to Cincinnati 14 years ago, I have sought out different opportunities to get involved and help out. Moved back to Cincinnati because it's a place I loved growing up. It's where I wanted to raise a family and have a career. And so initially that meant for me working hard to pay off some loans and get involved in different areas like Mayor Mark Mallory's Young Professional Kitchen Cabinet and getting to know some of the local elected officials and working with them, and ultimately found myself with more and more opportunities to get involved. And that culminated in 2022 with the opportunity to go work at the city in the law department through coordination with former city solicitor Andrew Garth, who we had worked together on some projects, and I had reached out and offered to be helpful. And he said that you would be most helpful if you would consider coming to work at the city. So I left partnership at the law firm and went to join the city law department and got really excited about all the things that were happening at the city with a new mayor, a new class of council members, and some of the newer issues that they were lifting up. So really enjoyed the work that I was doing while I was there. Got even more excited about an opportunity to sort of step up my commitment when Councilmember Greg Landsman was elected to Congress. Applied for the appointment then. Did not get it at that point, but that just meant that I needed to look for other opportunities to get involved. So I spent some time working with different campaigns. I led the coordinated campaign for the endorsed Democrats in 2023, which got all 15 candidates elected to office and prevailed on all four issues. Which was a great experience and an opportunity for me to sort of broaden my network of support.
So both of these things put you in very close contact with actual council members and not just the inner workings of City Hall. When you worked at the law department, that's where you really got to know Reggie Harris, who you replaced, because you worked on connected communities with him. He was the chairperson of the Housing, Economic Growth and Housing Committee. They changed the names on me several times over 10 years. So even now I have to look them up. They've been the same name for a couple of years.
Yeah. So I was counsel to the Equitable Growth and Housing Committee.
Got to know him.
Yes.
And like the inner workings there. And then through the coordinated campaign, Mika has been going around kind of telling the story how she met Evan at Souls to the Polls and through that coordinated campaign. And that is like how the sausage is made, like the behind the scenes of City Hall, like the coordinated campaign that the Democrats have a slate and everybody kind of rolls together in the election year. And somebody has to coordinate all of them. It's not going to be me. So that's how you got to know Mika.
Yes.
So you saw council up close.
Yes. And not only did I see council up close, but working in the law department in the position that I was in as chief counsel of special projects and policy initiatives, I had the opportunity to work with a broad range of departments. And so I had pretty good working relationships with John Brezina, Director of Department of Transportation and Engineering, with Karen Alder in finance, Director Daniel Betts in CRC, across the board, and a number of directors. I don't need to name them all. But seeing what they were doing, the good work that they were doing, and how their work aligned with the priorities of what was really a new class of council just got me more excited about the opportunity to work together with everybody.
So I do want to go back and talk about when you first moved back to Cincinnati, because you have a very interesting story to tell. But I also want to dispel some rumors here, because it's the kind of thing where people are going to be like, well, she didn't ask that question. Why didn't she ask that question? So there has a lot has been said about your appointment, and we've written a lot about that. But the idea that, you know, the mayor had a lot to do with that. So I'm going to say my piece, which is I'm a very cynical person and I don't believe anything anybody says at City Hall pretty much from the get-go.
That's like in the DNA of a good reporter. So I don't want anybody to think, gosh, Sherry, why so harsh? But that's just part of what makes you a good reporter. You don't take everything at face value. You subscribe to the belief that if your mother tells you that she loves you, you need a second source for that. Uh-huh. You know, that's how Sherry's wired. So
while you did know the mayor, you are friends with him, you knew him through the coordinated campaign and his treasurer. He told me that he had nothing to do with your appointment, and I believe him. Did he have anything to do with your appointment?
He did not.
Okay.
Yeah.
People would ask. They're going to ask. This is still something that is being brought to me to this day, you know, and it's honestly, I think, a conspiracy theory, but that does happen around City Hall. But I wanted to get that out of the way. We certainly think about that and ask those questions.
Yeah. And in all of my time and all of my efforts, I have sought out people who I believed in and who I do believe in and who I see doing good work. And I have reached out and offered to be helpful. There was a point in my life where I was switching law firms, where I worked at Voorhees to Katz Teller Law Firm, where I practice part-time today, and created a little more space in my professional capacity to really engage in civic involvement. That's when I joined the Oakley Community Council. Shortly after that, I joined the board at our church. And it was around that same time I reached out to a number of political candidates, elected officials. Mayor Aftab was one of those folks that I met. I also reached out to Commissioner Denise Driehaus and a few other folks and said, what can I do to help? And if that means just making a contribution, I'm happy to do that. If it means staffing a polling location or going canvassing, I'm happy to do that. At the time, now Mayor Aftab needed a treasurer, and he asked if I would do that. And so I did that work in that capacity for some amount of time. He is not the only candidate I've been the treasurer for. And throughout, you know, the last several years, I've made that same offer to those who share my values and share my priorities. And Councilwoman Mika Owens is one of those people. And, you know, her campaign went through some transition, and I reached out and said, what can I do to help? And that gave me an opportunity to continue working with her. She and I worked together, as you mentioned, on the coordinated campaign back in 2018 when we ran Souls to the Polls, and continued to work together in different capacities up until recently. And so when this sort of opportunity, we'll call it, was sort of thrust upon her without a whole lot of advance notice, she thought about who would be helpful to do the work that she was doing. And she and I had a good working relationship both inside City Hall from my time in the law department and outside, both on the campaign trail, in the community. And we both recognized that this was an opportunity to step up my commitment. And at her request, I was willing to do that, as I have been in lots of other different ways before.
Has it been difficult coming in under the idea that some in the Black community really was hoping a Black man or somebody also from the LGBTQ community? How has that been? Because it is a conversation that's still going on.
Sure. Yeah. And it's a conversation that should continue. You know, most people come to this seat on city council having run a challenging campaign. They have to seek the endorsement. They try to raise funds. They canvass and ultimately earn the trust of the voters. I didn't do any of that. And so my challenge is just on the back end of that appointment. I still need to engage with community members and get to know what issues matter most to them and show them that I'm willing to do the work to build the trust and to get things done.
I know it's been, what, a month? We're at the very beginning.
One of the things I'm curious about when you had this conversation with Mika before she announced her decision, for those who don't have their notes in front of them, when a council member leaves before a term is over, ahead of time, it has been decided which council member will make the appointment. And some have criticized that process, but that's our process. And unless it changes, that's how we do it. Did you have that discussion that the two of you might have to weather a little bit of second guessing or criticism because of the representation changing on council?
Yes. And I don't think it's limited to just the changing representation on council. I think there are lots of communities, lots of engaged communities in our city that have a desire to see their interests reflected on council and represented in all kinds of different ways, whether it's by profession, faith, you know, their sexual gender or identity, or the color of their skin. And people bring lots of different experiences to that sort of analysis. And I think because the appointment results in one person taking on a position, as opposed to through the election where you have nine people coming to that, there's going to be people who are not happy with the appointment. I do recognize that. And that just means that that's an opportunity for me to engage with those folks and show them that my values and priorities are aligned with Councilwoman Mika Owens for the most part. That's the reason that she chose me. And if they have faith and trust in her, then I hope to earn that faith and trust as well.
It seems to have died down a little bit, but Sherry, you're closer to the, you know, the eye of the storm than I might be. Have we heard? I mean, are people moving on?
No.
No? I think they should.
Okay.
See, you're the reporter. You can't say, I think they should.
I don't think we've reported. I think there's a couple more things to say, probably, but people still do want to have their voice heard. And I think we'll really see how people feel as we go into an election year next year.
Do you think they care enough to change the process of how a council person is appointed midterm?
I actually think council might do it themselves. The process is so, it's hard for them. It's hard for the community. I think there's a conversation probably at the beginning of the new year. I was just talking to somebody about it today, that it really might change. And council, you could do it by a ballot initiative. The community could bring it forward and pick a way they want to do it and put it to voters because it has to change in the charter. Or council could kind of come up with the idea, also put on the ballot, and citizens would have to vote. But I think council actually might do something themselves to make a change. I've kind of come across like five intriguing ideas. That's a conversation for another time of like different ways it could be done. But for now, the charter says this is the way.
All right. Well, I'm Go ahead.
Okay, no, you ask.
Well, I'm excited to talk about what you hinted at already, the story of you coming back to Cincinnati, because you and I have in common doing a tour of duty, I call it that, in Washington, D.C. You got your law degree at Georgetown.
That's right.
And worked there for quite a bit.
3 years.
Yeah. What, I ask this of all boomerang people like myself, what was it that brought you back?
It's really would be the experience I had growing up here in Cincinnati, with the being surrounded with family and friends, and the community. Just the way, you know, growing up in, I grew up in Cheviot. The street that I grew up on is half Cheviot, half Westwood, and growing up in that community, experiencing that community and all that it offers, and you know, just sort of the love and passion for all things Cincinnati as a Bengals fan, as a Reds fan, as a Bearcats fan. You know, you can watch those games from a bar in Washington, D.C. And if you
there
do,
there is a Bengals bar.
You want to go to the Bottom Line?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's right next to the Greek Bakery.
Yeah.
So
Burl,
for
like
me, it was like
on
yeah, on one street, I could take care of a couple of things. Yeah. Anyway, that's fantastic.
So he was young, though, when he moved back.
Yes.
not throwing any shade, but he was young. And you told me this already, but I want you to tell our listeners that you were kind of looking for the urban experience, and Cincinnati was really starting to have it when you moved back in 2010.
Yeah, that's right. So after living in Philadelphia for 4 years and then Washington, D.C. for six, I got a feel for a little bit more of an urban lifestyle. So it was right around that time that the Banks was coming up out of the ground, and I got really excited, and I was ready to be the first one to sign a lease, but somebody that was connected with the developer had already signed one. So I was the second person to sign a lease.
At the Current.
Down at the Banks.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Which we're looking at right now from our windows.
Yeah. And if you can believe it, at the time that I moved in, we didn't yet have a streetcar and Uber was not around. So I enjoyed the experience, but OTR was really starting to take off. And that meant either calling a cab, if you can imagine doing that, or walking up to OTR.
Right.
So it was a unique experience.
Urban experience, meaning you didn't want to deal with a car.
Exactly. I would walk to work every day. That's right.
So
well, things have changed.
But I think that he gives him a very unique perspective on the growing pains of the city. Like, the Banks is not done. Like, this is still a conversation going on. Out of the GE settlement was one very tangible thing. $250,000 to go to the port to study was the last going to be the last part of the Banks, which reminds me, I need to check on that. But he's lived it and understands the growing pains of the city and where we're going. And I like that perspective. On a council.
Yeah, there were a lot of promises made about what that how that development would take shape while we were there, and it has taken way too long.
We are getting there, though. Although I've learned over time, because of course we've written a million stories about the Banks, that the first iteration never really does work. You know, I kind of am famous for actually having the original Banks plan at my house, of like the townhomes and the beautiful like German village. And it's lovely. It is not what's there now, but it takes a while for things to kind of cement. Everything in the Banks was too big. The spaces are all divided up now. What works best in Cincinnati? You kind of have to figure it out. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And our friend, Jim Mooring, friend of the podcast.
The mayor of the Banks.
Mayor of the Banks.
Holy Grail.
The Holy Grail opened in 2011.
Yeah, one of the OG, yeah.
Yeah, he was the first bar space to open down there. Still there.
Still there.
You know what's interesting to me is when I walk from our office and down, you know, through the Banks, if I'm going, to Smale Park or whatever, I have, I no longer noticed the undevelopment part, the parts that aren't developed, you know, the parts that still need to be covered, the concrete pillars coming out of the ground with exposed rebar.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't look that good, but I just kind of have tuned it out. But when I have, you know, friends or people coming in from out of town and they walk by, they go, oh, what's going to be built here? Because it looks like it's just ready to go. And I'm like, you know what? Nothing.
yet.
Big question mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what do you think would spur what I would call like the next phase of the Banks? Okay, for those who aren't in the studio, His eyes got wide and he looked out our window like,
it's been a while since we've had a hot seat question.
Did you really ask me that?
Yeah. Wow.
But now that you're a council member, I mean, I think it's,
yeah, true.
What do you think would,
if you could wave a magic wand and have all the money in the world, which, surprise, you don't.
I mean, is it a question of priorities right now or bringing, people that haven't really settled on who should be in charge or what the next steps are?
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't thought a whole lot about it. Coming to this position on city council, it's not an issue that is discussed a whole lot. And I don't know if that's because it's stale or if it's because it's mostly under the control of the county. Thinking about it here on the spot, I'd love to have more conversation about what's happening down there, maybe a little more collaboration between the city and the county. I think when the banks first got going, there was a joint task force or committee of interested members who kind of really got the ball rolling at the beginning. And I don't frankly know where that left off or why that work stopped when it did.
I'm trying to think when the last time I got a notice for the bank steering committee is. We get them for the port on a regular basis, but it's been a minute. But Sydney Franklin is our development reporter, and she does cover that more directly.
Two things for your notebook to follow up on.
I know, the end of the year, there's a lot of things to follow up on.
I think there's some exciting development that may happen along with the renovation of the Bengals Stadium as the county and the ownership work that out. And I think we have to wait and see how that takes shape before we can really commit to anything with
That's true. What is that going to look like? Let's pretend we were getting a dome. Well, that's going to take up a lot more space, but we're not getting a dome. We just talked about that on the last podcast. But
Sherry loves to play money, doesn't she?
And I do. And also, I'm a big go big or go home. I'm not a big into compromising and scaling things back. I'm like,
but we got some cool renderings now. It wasn't a total wasted effort. We got some cool renderings.
Those will just be hanging on Sherry's wall in a couple of years.
So I know it's early, but do you have a short list? Understanding the banks isn't on there. What is your short list of things you would like to be part of?
Yeah,
with this council.
That's a good question. And a month ago, I was not even I didn't have much time to sit and think about the answers to that question. This all has happened very quickly. I do know that, what brought me back to Cincinnati was the feeling I had in the community raising a family. And I recognize that doesn't exist in the same way across our city. And I think there's an opportunity as we grow as a city to be more intentional about how each community is growing and developing. And
on the neighborhood level.
And I think, getting into the weeds just a little bit, we have a document at the city of Cincinnati called Plan Cincinnati. It was a plan, an overarching master plan that was adopted in 2012. And anytime a development project comes through the city and goes through the planning department is required by law to cite the provisions of Plan Cincinnati that support that development.
And then they deviate from them. Sorry, you didn't say that. I did.
Yeah, you said that.
You know what? It was 2012. Go ahead. Yeah, that was a while ago. Things are different.
Right. Yeah. And so here we are now with an entirely new class of council members, a new mayor with a new vision. And we're talking about priorities that were not necessarily priorities back in 2012. Things that would be better incorporated into a Plan Cincinnati document going forward, things like environmental justice, a better focus on expansion of housing, and in particular, affordable housing, and a focus on equity, in particular, racial equity. Those are words that aren't really mentioned at all in the Plan Cincinnati document we have today. And the folks at the city are excited about this from having worked as counsel to the planning department and counsel to the planning commission when I was in the law department. I know those folks. I know how excited they are about this. And I know that fellow council members and the mayor are also excited about it. It's an opportunity to shape our city with a vision for the future that hasn't been done in a long time.
Sherry's writing. He must have said something very profound.
I'm also planning for next year. It's that kind of time, what's ahead for everything. And that's true. I have heard people talk about Plan Cincinnati, and that'll be kind of like a futures commission level type of thing. That's not just going to be like the planning commission's like, here's a plan, and then council's like, oh, I like it or I don't like it. It's going to take huge community engagement, a gigantic undertaking, and it'll be very much like the Futures Commission, I think.
Yeah, it'll be years of engagement. It'll touch multiple departments at the city, not just the planning department. It will require engagement with the community above and beyond what we went through for Connected Communities.
So a question for both of you, as you kind of, you know, obviously you have this level of insight from, you know, working in the administration. We've had former police officers serve on council. Have we had recently someone that you would call like an administrator walk across the great divide into the territory of where the electeds work?
Not as far as I can remember. Not recently, not within City Hall. We do have Assistant City Manager Virginia Talent as an elected official leaving City Hall to sit on the bench in the Hamilton County Court of Common Pleas.
But on City Council itself, I can't think of anyone that came like out of the administration into City Hall.
No. Not necessarily the administration, but we certainly have had folks who have worked on the third floor with other city council members.
Like chiefs of staff have become elevated to council members over time, but they do a lot of the chiefs of staff do a lot of this kind of like wonky planning stuff and they know the ins and outs of it. And then they want to make, they grow into wanting to make decisions after working on policy for so long. That's kind of been a path.
That's right.
Next year is a city election year. It'll be, you know, I will say the state of the city was really a look back. It was, you know, a lot of like thank yous and kind of a reflection because sometimes it's a look forward. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like we're going to see a look forward coming in January and February of like what's kind of next. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's true?
Yes. I think that the mayor did a great job showing our work and the progress that as a city, it takes not just the elected officials, not just the city administration, but community partners working together. And he was right to name a lot of those folks who have been involved in getting us to where we are today and building some trust and faith in the work that we're doing. And there will be some difficult decisions to make going forward. And, you know, he's establishing that vision and setting the plan for doing that.
That is true. There is a lot of talk about what the budget is going to look like in the future, but for now it's okay.
That's right.
As I write about things like carryovers and
That's right.
Okay. So I do. So can you tell us a little bit just about your personal life? Like my favorite thing that hasn't made it into any story yet really is that you're your girl's volleyball coach and that you're an involved dad.
Yeah. At this point, at my age, I'm a washed up former athlete. And so
I've
made the glorious transition to coaching my kids in their sports. And our oldest is in third grade. And this year, for the first time, has had the opportunity to play volleyball. It's a sport that I played growing up and played in college and continue to play in a beer league over in Cheviot on Sunday nights. And I'm excited to be coaching her team and all of her friends, and also serving as an assistant coach for the basketball team when time allows.
It's going to be in shorter supply. You do still have your actual job. Like that's council's a part-time job, right?
That's right.
Like,
yes.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
It tends to not seem like that for the most part. I think the part-time part comes because there's a long summer break.
Yes.
But in the week, in the regular meetings time, it's just two jobs.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
All right. And we're going to get to know you more over the coming year.
I look forward to it. Thank you.